Hello and welcome to another special episode of the Blue Toon podcast, where we are joined by former Peterhead captain Callum McDonald. In part one, Callum talks about his time at Dundee, his year loan at Peterhead, and working under manager Steve Patterson when he left Dens Park. Enjoy.
Right, very pleased to say that we're joined by another Peterhead, former Peterhead captain. This time it's Callum McDonald. Callum, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Good to have you on. How are things? How's your year been?
I'm all right. It's been a weird year for everybody, isn't it? I've been all right. I was working all the way through it, so I was still busy. So I was still out of my work every day to begin with in lockdown. Although I couldn't kind of see family or friends out with work, but I was out and about and I was on the go. But the years flew by. It's went so fast up till now, I think.
It's funny you say that, because I'm just thinking of myself, the year's gone by pretty quick, even though we haven't been able to do as much for some reason.
No, I don't think anyone's really done anything, but from March to October, it's just been a blur, I think.
And what's your kind of thoughts on the current restrictions now on players and in games, the Carnahy Showers, etc. and all that?
I think that's tough. Obviously, I'm out of the game now, so I don't really know all the kind of goings on. But to be asking guys to travel, train or play, and then travel again without being able to have a shower or get washed and dried and kind of get freshened up to go and drive home again. I think I don't understand it. If teams have got dressing rooms big enough to social distance, can the shower area not be social distanced? I would like to think, obviously, clean and social distanced, and the guys get cleaned and away down the road or whatever. So I think that's tough on the players. I don't think that's fair. Somebody with more kind of knowledge than me will probably tell me reasons why they're doing it, but it is hard on the players, definitely.
Do you think it's compromising the players' welfare a wee bit? The fact, as you said, if it's pouring down rain and they have to travel back home from Peterhead and they're going to Glasgow, they can't get changed.
Of course it is. I think it's across the country as well. I think all the part-time clubs will have guys that, you know, travel this good, you know, distances, you know, an hour drive and things like that. I mean, all clubs will have that. To be jumping in a car still wet and dirty and things like that, like you say, there's a chance of getting the cold or whatever that way, definitely. So I think that's the thing that's baffling for everybody.
You do a bit of coaching as well. Is the regulation sort of made a difference to your sort of coaching side of things?
A little bit. It's kids coaching I do, so it's just a case of with us just now. It's just hygiene and the equipment's wiped down and sprayed and that kind of thing just now for us. The kids are allowed to keep playing and whatever. So we're okay with that just now. We're actually really busy with it. But that's it stopped again for, like, I think, like, amateurs and guys trying to get a game of five-a-sides and things like that. They can't do that again for the next 16 days or whatever, when it was up and running and everybody was out and keeping fit and active and whatever. You would want to be encouraging, you would think.
And what do you make of the fact that fans can't get into games at the minute? Have you watched any games on the TV, you know, fans? What do you make of it?
I've been watching games on TV. I have. I was actually at a game. I'm going to be doing the scouting for East Fife this season. So I was at their game. They played Dunfermline in a friendly the other week there. And you can get fans in and be distanced, I think, certainly in the lower leagues, the part-time clubs. I I mean, I know, obviously, at Peterhead, I think it would be really easy to be to let, you know, a number of people in and be safely distanced and whatever. I don't know why they haven't tried it. I know they tried it in the Premier League. It was at Dordrey, wasn't it, in Ross County, I think. And that was it. We never heard anything more about it. It wasn't tried again. So I think I'm worried about the clubs, you know, losing out on all the fans coming in financially. I think the fans are gonna you know, take on all the streaming, you know, subscribe to the streaming options and things like that. That's what football fans do. It just isn't it. They kind of they back their clubs and they're brilliant that way. But it's worrying times, I think, the finances anyway. So hopefully they can get something moving and get the fans in.
Paul and I spoke on Tuesday night that it seems a little strange that fans can't go to a game outside socially distanced in the fresh air, yet you can go into a cinema.
Of course, I know. Like, I agree with that as well. It doesn't really make sense. I don't know.
Do you think football's been punished a little bit because of the the incidents with Aberdeen and Celtic earlier on when the football started? Do you think they're being punished slightly now?
Possibly.
We're getting the difficult questions out of the way early for you, okay?
Possibly. I mean, there might be a thing against football fans. They might have interpretations of football fans, but it's not really fair, is it? If, you know, if there's been incidents in the past and somebody thinks, well, that's what all football fans are like, so we're not going to let anybody go to a game, I think that's unfair. It's like they let the people back into the pubs and that obviously helped the pubs and that was good for them. But why was nobody allowed to go in and watch a game of football? Like you said, the football's outside open air, whereas if you go into a pub or a restaurant, you're social distance, but you're inside, but you could be in a football stadium and be sort of equally social distance or even more so.
Peter, he's a perfect example. It's at 3,000 capacity, but the average crowd's 700, so you could easily get the social distance into there.
Aye, of course, I know. yeah, definitely. And it would help. It would help so much, I think. There's no doubt about that. It would help a lot. Getting some fans in, even if it's half what you're saying, 700, even if it's 350, it's something. So yeah, we can only hope that they'll allow it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, let's hope so, because I think a lot of clubs will depend on it. But before we get too political, let's start talking about you. That's why you're here. So some 20 years ago, your career started at Dundee. Seems like a long time ago now. Don't want to make you too old, but some of the guys in the Peterhead squad weren't even born back then. So, so Dundee Youth, which obviously is a club quite close to you, growing up where you were.
Quite local to Dundee, and I think I must have been about 13 or 14, I think, when I started to go through and train after school, train in school hallways and things like that. And then around about that time, maybe 14 or something, it was an S form, they called it back then. So you signed that, and then at that time I finished up playing boys club. So we would play against the other kind of Premier League teams on Sundays and train twice a week, so it was brilliant. That was up till left school, 17. And then joined the YTS. So that was that.
Well, you sort of broke into the first team. You had a year's loan at Peterhead, 2002. Why did you go to Peterhead? Was there a couple of clubs that you could have gone to, or was that the only club at Dundee? Sort of?
I'm not sure. I don't know if there was any other clubs. What had happened was 2002. That was finished the youth team, so too old for the youth team. The next stage was under-21s or going out on loan. And we played Peterhead in a pre-season friendly that summer. It was kind of sort of first team reserves, under-21 players, a kind of a mix of that, played in a friendly. And it might have just been the next week. It was quite quickly after that. Jim Duffy, he was manager at Dundee. He told me that it was Ian Wilson was the Peterhead manager. So Ian Wilson had phoned him and asked if he could get me go up on loan. I never had a choice. It was just you're going on loan and kind of on you go. But it was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. Going on loan that whole season was brilliant. It was excellent how it went. Really enjoyed it.
You've got, I think it was nearly 30 games. So at 19, that must have been quite a boost for your career.
Aye, definitely. I didn't know at the time, but in the kind of following seasons after that, breaking into the first team at Dundee and kind of playing games there, the experience that I got when I was out on loan, it got you ready for that, you know, playing first team matches, training during the week and playing on a Saturday, you know, playing for points that mattered and weak positions and things like that. It was brilliant. I loved that season. It was really good.
And did you, because you sort of dropped down maybe two or three tiers, were you sort of taken aback by the level you were at initially before you sort of settled in?
Initially I was. First game was Elgin away. And so we travelled up from Dundee with Paul Mathers, Robbie Rayside, Sean McSkimmon, Kevin Bain. They had a people carrier and that, so we all jump in there up to Aberdeen, and then you meet the bus at Aberdeen Exhibition Centre up to Elgin. So that's all fine, and then we got beat 3-0. I probably out of my depth that day. Like after that was like a wake up call, learning curve, if you like, to sort of you know get two or three games at that level and kind of get used to how it was, you know, playing competitive games rather than what I'd been used to under-21s and reserve. Sort of fixtures. So we got beat 3-0, and that was it. I went back down the road, thinking, what's this season going to be like? But like I say, it went brilliantly quite quickly after that. We started to kind of hit that form, playing every week, and we were up the top of the league the whole season, challenging. It was really tight the whole season, I think, right to the last day. And that was probably the best thing about it, because we were challenging at the top of the league, you were always looking for Morton and East Fife, it was, and Albion Rovers. It was us four. So you were always looking for their results. You were always, you know, big games when you played them. So brilliant.
You mentioned some of the guys that you're playing with, some great names like Martin Johnson was there as well, Ian Stewart. What was it like to be playing with those kind of guys on a regular basis?
Good. The standard of player was excellent, and some of the experience as well. There was Ian Stewart and Martin played up front. Obviously, Ian Stewart had the experienced goal scorer. Martin Johnson was young at the time. He's probably similar ages for myself, or maybe slightly older. Excellent player, good striker. Who else was it? Andy Roddy. He played out on the left. And again, like, really good player. Experience. You know, he played abroad, Andy Roddy, actually. Kevin Bay in the middle of the pitch. Dougie Cameron, he came up on loan with me. So we had a good team And the older ones, like the ones we travelled with, like Sean McStown, Robbie Aside, to kind of play with them, but also travel with them. And, you know, they would talk to you and help you a lot on the way to games, on the way back from games. So I enjoyed the season, learned a lot, took a lot from it.
And you got your first professional goal as well, I think, as well, didn't you?
I would have, I can't remember. I can't remember that. I can't remember the first one. I can remember, I think I maybe scored a couple that season. I remember one of them, I think it was against East Stirling up at Peterhead.
6-0 win.
Aye, it might have been. I think it was maybe my left foot. Which is definitely be the only one. But I actually started playing right wing back. After a few games, I played right back at Dundee, kind of in the reserves under 21s. So I kind of played that position, and then we started playing 3-5-2, and Ian Wilson asked me to play right wing back, and I loved it. So up and down, and kind of attacking the back post, and getting crosses in, and things like that. So I played the majority of that season as right wing back, so that's really good.
Did you prefer playing that position? You said that you were attacking the back post and everything. Is that what a position you preferred playing in?
At the time, I really enjoyed it, but see, when I think back now, it might have benefited me more to play centre back that season more. But it's just one of the things you'll never know. But no, I enjoyed that position, and even when I went back to Gundy after it, and I started to get in the team, I would go and I would play right back, or I'll play left back even. So I took a lot from, you know, that position, and playing as a full back or a wing back, or when I went to Dundee and played as a full back, you know, I'd had that kind of confidence or experience as well of getting forward. You kind of supporting the attack, getting crosses in, overlapping and things. So it was good. I enjoyed it.
Just adds another depth to your game, doesn't it?
I definitely it did. That's probably one of the things that helped me when I got into Dundee. You know, when I got in the first team squad, went back to Dundee after that season, was kind of a versatility to play centre back or full back. So that was sort of a plus point from it.
So let's talk about your first season at Dundee then. The squad that they had, some of the names they had in that squad: Craig Burley, Nacho Novo, Juan Sara, Lavinelli, and Bobby Lynn as well. We'll chuck his name in. That must be quite exciting times at Dundee then.
Aye, it was brilliant, but it was even more so the 2 years I was with ITS and the year I was on loan at Peterhead. That was when I joined the ITS, that was when they got the Italian managers, the Ivano and Dario Benetti. And they started bringing in a lot of foreign players, Italian players, Argentinian players, with Fabian Caballero, excellent player. Juan Sara, you mentioned him, and then Claudio Caniggia. He came quite soon in that season, quite early in that season, and we would sometimes play the first team practice match, so we'd shape up against them, you know, in the lead up to their match at the weekend. So we would actually sort of play against them, play against Caniggia and players like that. Tamura Kitsbaya, he was another one that came at that time. And then, like you've mentioned, the names there, when I was sort of started getting into the squad, we had Ravinelli, Craig Burley was there. It was brilliant. It was amazing. You're training with Ravinelli and you're sitting in the changing room and then you're in the squad and you're playing and he's playing or whatever. It was unbelievable. Nemzadze, he was another one, Georgie Nemzadze. I think he was captain of Georgia. He was brilliant. He was an excellent player.
you kind of have to pinch yourself sometimes when you're sort of standing next to these guys and going, what the hell's going on here?
A wee bit. My debut Dundee ended up being away to Clyde Tuesday night in the Cup, League Cup, and we went in at lunchtime. I went in at afternoon to kind of do a wee listener and kind of shape up a wee bit, and he named the team, Jim Duffy, he named the team there, so he just rings out, he just shouts out the team, and I'm playing right back, and he never told me I was going to be playing, he never spoke to me after that, he just said, named the team, and that was it, so we shaped up, did a bit of set pieces or whatever, and so the game won 5-2, the game went okay. I think we took lead, Clyde might have equalised or something like that, but in the end we were quite comfortable. But Ravenelli came off the bench and scored a hat-trick, and I don't know, this must have been about 10 minutes or something like that. That's like you're asking there, the pinching yourself kind of thing was, after that game, was just sort of sitting, and Ravenelli's came off the bench, scored a hat-trick, and you've been in the same team as him, and it was crazy. Brilliant, though.
Unfortunately for Dundee, though, the good times and they kind of lasted relegation, I think it was the next season.
No, I never left. So, around that time, I started getting in the squad, and I played that game. Played that game against Clyde. I played on the Saturday against Hibs. Ravenelli, I remember he was playing that game. And then it was around about that time they had to go into administration for the first time. And that was horrible. We were all just in one of the corporate lounges, all the playing staff, and Jim Duffy ended up sort of taking control a little bit. One of the directors was, you know, had a list of names who was going to be basically just free to go, well, whatever you want to call it, sacked or free to go, whatever. And the guy was struggling a wee bit, so Jim Duffy took over that, read the names out, and that was it. If your name was read out, you were kind of, that was it, done. And we had, like, we'd come through, like, our youth team 2 years, brilliant, best 2 years probably in football, and some of your mates that day have just had their name read out, and they've kind of left the club. And not just the playing staff, there was also, you know, other people working around the stadium that kind of was affected with their jobs as well. So it wasn't nice at that time. And then it made it hard after that. You had a much smaller squad, but we're relying on young players and experience and things like that. But yeah, it was, so that season was okay. We kind of got through that season. We managed to keep some players, Stevie Lovell, we managed to keep, I think, would that be right in saying that? I know he went to Aberdeen. I think what they done was got rid of the biggest kind of earners during the administration, and they kept kind of, you know, the main players, the best players they could. So we still had, that season we still had, you know, quite a good squad. I think we maybe finished mid-table. And then the following season was when everybody left. And we were kind of really, we were getting boys in on a lot lower salaries, and then relying on the younger players to play and get us through that season. Unfortunately, we kind of never managed to do enough. We got relegated on the last day. So,
did you think before the season had started that you would be struggling a little bit?
Thinking back, I can't really remember thinking too much about that. Like I said, I would have been 21 or something like that at that time. So, you know, young and kind of just enjoying what was happening, being in the team and things like that. I don't know if I would have looked to that bigger picture of we might struggle here. It was more, you know, I was probably in a selfish way. I was, you know, sort of trying to take the chance that I was now getting, that I was in the team or whatever, which might not have been the case if the administration hadn't happened. So I was enjoying playing most weeks. But we still had, our squad was still okay. We still had good players that season. It was when we went into the split. I think we were looking quite comfortable going into the split, and we just kind of blew up. We got beat off Dunfermline, Livingston, and Dundee United around about that time, and then we drew Livingston on the last day, and we had to win, so they stayed up, and we were relegated, unfortunately.
It was that atmosphere around the club at that point in time.
You mean on the day of the relegation, or leading up?
No, sorry. Just after the administration, the players had left, and you started the new season. Obviously, there were some fresher faces come in on the less salary. But the atmosphere generally around the club, was it optimistic that the club would go forward, or was it quite doom and gloom?
I wouldn't have said the doom and gloom sort of lasted too long. I'm just trying to remember back and kind of what I was thinking or feeling, but no, I wouldn't have said the doom and gloom lasted too long, because I'm sure we played Dunfermline on the Saturday after the administration, and that's kind of what happens in football. Like, before you know it, you've got another game, you're training the next day, you sort of put things to the back of your mind, and then before you know it, the focus is all on the games coming up and the rest of the season and things like that. But certainly doom and gloom at the time of administration happening, there's no doubts about that. But like you say, with football, things do tend to kind of move on quite quickly, and there's something else around the corner to focus on.
So you spent another 2 years at Dundee, which, kind of looking back, might be a bit of a struggle, but there was some kind of good times, though. Semi-final in the Scottish Cup against Gretna, playing at Hampden.
Yeah, We didn't do great when we went down to the First Division. Although I remember I'd got an operation, so I wasn't playing at the start of the season when we went down to the First Division. And the guys, I'm sure we were top of the league, top of the First Division. But we got beat off of Stranraer away in the Cup, League Cup, and they decided to let Jim Duffy go after that result. And Alan Kernaghan came in, Billy Kirkwood was assistant, and it was a bit of a struggle season. We probably finished mid-table. We never really challenged. I think it would have been Johnston, Hamilton at that time. So it wasn't a great season. The following season was the season I ended up leaving, I think, halfway through. By that time, Alex Ray had come in. Alex Ray eventually kind of got them going. He got a bit of time. Alan Kernaghan only really got probably 8 or 9 months. Maybe not even quite that. So there was a kind of a lot of transition with Dundee around that time, from administration to relegation to trying to kind of establish in the First Division to come back up. So it took a few years, I would say.
Well, after you mentioned you left Dundee, you signed for Peterhead. Was that an easy choice to come to Peterhead, because you'd played there before?
Yeah. I'd kind of had it in my head. I think by that time I was 24 or 25, maybe 24 probably. I think I'd sort of had it in my head. I had a couple of seasons in the First Division, and we hadn't been doing great. Alex Ray came in. I found myself, I wasn't going to play. He did use me to begin with, more as cover really. I would be on the bench, or I would come on, or I would play if it was basically cover. And he was adding to the squad, he was bringing players in and things. So I kind of, at that time, I started thinking, should I look at going part time and at that age get a job and try and play football that way? So that was the thinking. And because I'd been at Peterhead before, I knew what the club was like, and I knew obviously Lenny, Doogie. I knew a few of the guys there. I was really good mates with Doogie Cameron. We sort of came through from the S forms to YTS. We went alone together. We got into Dundee first team together, and then by this time he was up there. So knowing them and knowing the club, that was kind of the thinking there, and also the kind of working opportunities that would be up north, up in Aberdeen or whatever, was another sort of way of looking at it. So that's kind of why I chose to go up here. I didn't look for anything to stay full time, or I didn't try and look for any other part time clubs. I kind of thought, kind of made up my mind a wee bit that would be a good way to sort of keep playing football and try and start working full time.
Was it different? Did you feel the club was different in the 5 years you'd been there previously?
No, I would say that the club was still the same. Behind the scenes, you've got your directors and, the guys that help out, the groundsmen and the kit man and these people, the people that work in the bar and upstairs, where you get your food and, the girls there, same faces, I think they probably would have been. So the club was still really good that way. Pele was the manager. Steve Patterson, when I signed, obviously I'd never met him before or had any dealings. I knew a lot about him through Bobby Mann. I was friendly with Bobby at Dundee together, and I can't remember. Bobby maybe actually spoke to Pelly and said, "Would you want to take me up?" So that's how that came about. And then Bobby actually came maybe the week or so after me. He came to Peterhead as well. But I'm trying to think, where did we train? We might have trained up in Peterhead and in Aberdeen, which the first time I was there on loan, I think we just trained in Aberdeen. Or maybe it was only I went up once a week to train. But no, pretty similar, I would say pretty similar.
What was it like working under Steve Patterson?
brilliant. So I loved it. I wish he would have got longer. I know that we weren't doing great. I think he'd came in to try and take over from Ian Stewart, whereas Ian Stewart and Paul Mates had done really well. They'd almost got promotion to the First Division. They'd obviously taken them up from the third division, and then they got playoffs and lost to penalties. Park Thistle, wasn't it?
Park Thistle, aye. He had a 91st minute goal or something to take it into extra time.
Aye, that's right. So they'd done excellent. So Pelly was taken over from them and taking on those players. I think he started to bring in some of his own players and whatever, but if you look, I just look back at it now and think of the story of when he took over at Inverness and what he'd done with them and how he got them going. Had he got longer at Peterhead, there's a chance he might have done better. Obviously, there's a chance he might not have, but he was brilliant to play for. Just like, see his mannerisms and his stories and how laid back he was, and like he would always be late. But it wouldn't affect him. It wouldn't, like, he would just come in and read the team out quickly and away you go. Or he might not even be there by the time you were warming up. I'm sure he read the team out on loudspeaker one day. but like, I think because Bobby was there and Bobby knew him from Inverness, and Bobby would say, "That's just Pell, that's just," and then everybody kind of just goes, "Oh well, that's like that's how he is. That's just, that's what we do. And he was good. I loved playing for him when he was there. Neil Cooper, obviously sadly no less anymore, was his assistant, and he was good as well. They were different. Like obviously at that time, Neil would take a training, like Coops, he would take a training, and Pelly would watch and kind of be the manager, and obviously Coops would kind of help out a wee bit if Bill was struggling to be on time. Coops would get the team or whatever and let us know set pieces and things like that. But they were good together as well. So it was good. I liked it.
The atmosphere in the dressing room must have been good, because any dressing room has got Steve Parson and Bobby Mann must be a good one.
It was brilliant, because Bobby obviously had all the Inverness stories. You know, when he played for him up at Inverness, and I don't know if I can say them all. They're not my stories anyway, but obviously they're just kind of second-hand stories. But like, just how crazy he was, like, but it didn't bother him, but he got results, and he was clever as well, football-wise. He was clever. He knew what he was doing, and he could see a game, and he could read a game. And he knew a player, because if you look at the players that he took up to Inverness, and they went on and moved on from Inverness, or went on and played at higher levels and things like that. So he was clued up, definitely. But the funny stories. I think we got we have pre-season one year. It was up near Inverness somewhere, and obviously we got a night out on Saturday night, and the Sunday morning when you're getting ready to go back down the road, it's still just Pelly sitting somewhere in the hotel lobby or whatever. He's not been to his bed yet, but he's just loving life, and he's telling stories and drinking his Guinness or whatever. He's good.
Were you disappointed when he got sacked then?
Yeah, I was, because It was quite early in the following season, would I be right in saying that?
It was very early on. I think it was maybe like the September, October time.
So he was probably there just under a year, would that be right?
I think so,
definitely, because we were kind of thinking like, he's came in sort of mid-season, he's kind of got through that season, and then you think, right, pre-season, get some players in and have a full season, go at it. But obviously we never started great, and they wanted to change it a little bit. So I like playing for him, and he knew his stuff, he knew his football, he knew what he was talking about. And I would have liked it him to have stayed longer and to see how well we could have done, but obviously it wasn't to be.
So that was part one of our interview with Colin McDonald. Join us again soon for part two, where he talks more about his time at Balmoir. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.